That sounds like we got sound. All right, my name's Dana Guttreid. I work at Citrix. The office I'm in is just outside of Boston, so in the States, but on the other side of them. So we're going to talk about our experience with OData. And just to start off, we haven't actually released any products yet that use OData or expose it. So we're in the development cycle. We've been looking at it for about a year. We have one product coming soon. So that's where we are. We're excited about using it. We see that there's a great deal of potential in what we can do with it as a company. So we're going to talk today about our background with it, why we're moving in this direction, what we've had before that would cause us to look at using something different, and then the specific technology choices. We're going to talk about some of the Microsoft products that we're implementing on top of, and some of the concerns we have, and some of the things that we really like about those products too. I feel that this is a good forum to discuss that. So what's our background with OData? We have two products right now that are planning on using OData. One of them is called Citrix Zen Desktop, which if you're not familiar with it, it's a desktop virtualization platform that allows people to access a desktop that's basically running in a data center, but they can get to it from anywhere. So this is great for business use. And then there's another unnamed product to be released shortly. So I'm not going to announce it today, but we're going to suffice to say that they're using OData and it's going to be out soon. So we're going to focus on Zen Desktop first. That's a really big flagship product that Citrix has. So our current API that's out in the market, this is kind of what the architecture looks like, a very simplified version of it. You have services running in the data center that basically provide Zen Desktop access. And you have end users, which can get their desktops on any device, essentially, whether it's a tablet, a smartphone, a laptop, a PC. So that's what they see. But then in terms of administrators and people running this, you have a PowerShell API right now, and monitoring configuration happens, and also any third-party application. And the reason that's so important to us is, as a group, people working on Zen Desktop, if you write any sort of application that accesses Zen Desktop, we want to use our internal APIs and the public APIs, so that we're basically eating our own dog food. So our consoles to configure Zen Desktop also use the PowerShell API, and that's really taught us a lot about whether or not that API is acceptable for customers as the only API solution. And it's really helped us to move in this next direction. Same thing with third party. They're all going through the same PowerShell API currently. So PowerShell, why is it working? As you know, PowerShell is great for automation. It works very well in that term. Scripts are easy to write. They're also easy to share. And Citrix is a big company. We have a pretty good ecosystem of people who write these scripts. They share them with one another. Our support staff at Citrix can write scripts and send them off, and these are nice, they're easy things to move around that way. So it's a pretty good environment in those terms. But it's not working for a few reasons. The objects are not type safe. PowerShell in general, as you know, is hard to program against. It's easy to write scripts against, but if you want to access it programmatically, it's not the greatest environment for that. Also, if we want to reach it from a non-Windows system, it's more challenging. It's not, the ideal way to do it. And accessing it from native code also has some problems. One thing within Citrix is we have a lot of different types of products. Zen Desktop and GoToMeeting are not our only two products. We have appliances, NetScaler, Branch Repeater, Zen Server, and those are not Windows-based. They're appliances that plug into a data center. So a really true long-term goal for Citrix systems and our products is to allow them to communicate with each other. And that allows a much more cohesive solution where we can do some really interesting things in the data center and have the products learn about the environment when they need to turn on or off and be really smart in how they work with one another. But right now they're kind of siloed. They can't see each other because of the APIs that we've chosen. So then how do we end up at OData? Well, that last slide kind of points us in that direction. But we see it's ideal for reasons that we're familiar with, the type safety, the ease of access. The query syntax is another thing that we really like in terms of OData. That standards based, we just say this is the way our queries need to be formed and customers can easily figure out how to get to the data. The access from a variety of systems is also very important to us. And then the different types of formats that it can be turned into, whether it's AtomPub or JSON if you want to consume it and use it in a website, for instance. And then the RESTful interface is also something that we think is important in terms of an API. So what technology choices have we made? And again, our disclaimer that this version is still under development. So some of what we talk about Maybe it'll shift in direction, but these are things that we're looking at in terms of technologies that we like, that we can implement on top of, that Microsoft has provided. So we'll talk about these three. Windows PowerShell Web Service, which has anyone in the room? Oh, how many people in the room have heard of that? Just a show of hands so I can get a sense. All right, how many have heard of Management OData? Any others? Okay, so I did a search to see which one, what it's named right now, and that's the name I came up with. Is that still correct?
Management OData is correct.
Okay. All right, so on the latest beta, that's what it was called. So Management OData, or this, we'll talk a little bit about what it is, since I didn't see a lot of hands specifically for use of it. It's something that really fits in nicely right now with our current API. WCF Data Services and ASP.NET Web API, which is also something that at Citrix we're using for exposing OData. So we'll talk about how we're doing that too, because it's an interesting topic. So Windows PowerShell Web Service, what this is in Windows Management Framework 3.0, this is a new feature. I have an expert in the back there who's going to help me along with this. But this is fantastic because essentially what it allows you to do is have an IIS site that you, inside of that site, you add this mapping metadata that tells, that will then expose any PowerShell commandlets you have through OData. So for Zen Desktop, that's fantastic because all of our API right now is PowerShell. And we didn't want a really long cycle to say, how are we going to expose this via OData, because we need to get it out quickly. So what we can do is then out of band release another product that will say, okay, here's our Management OData solution. It's OData on top of your commandlets. And people who are already using the commandlets can still use them, but people who want access to our data and will be able to quickly get to it without much difficulty. And it's a fantastic thing. Now, in terms of what it's supposed to be released on, what we've been told is Windows 8, that's the main platform, but also going back to 2008 R2 and Win 7 SP1 is something that's been stated, and we really hope that it's available for those, because that would make it so it's something that we could use. We do have some concerns with this. As we did some performance testing, we installed it and ran with it on Windows 8, we noticed that some of the regular query syntax with OData, like the filter, top, and skip, those are actually performed inside of the IIS site. They're not, you don't have access to pass them back. So what that means in terms of our commandlets is that we're returning the full data set from SQL Server. It goes into IIS, and then it's filtered through the normal OData syntax. And so we would like to be able to take these and pass them all the way back. Say, okay, we have these in it. And if our commandlets expose those options to let us get them all the way back to the server where they're originally exposed, and then that gives us better availability within SQL to really limit the result set that comes out. And we're not just passing massive chunks of data and then filtering it later. Another thing that's just a global issue for us with OData is using SSL encryption. We find that sometimes that's a barrier for our customers because they find it harder to set up. They have a lot of questions about certs and self-signed certs and what's acceptable. And it really, it just, for our support organization, it adds some complexity, if you will.
Question?
Sure.
Is there like something particular about OData that's making SSL painful? Is there something we can do, or is more like just HTTP and SSL is tricky?
Yeah, the latter, HTTPS. So the question was, if there's something specific about OData in general that could change that, or is it just HTTPS? And we found that it's asking customers to set up HTTPS is problematic for the support system. It doesn't mean that that's the wrong way. It's just saying, well, with WCF, you say, well, we can use some other sort of binding, potentially. So you didn't really necessarily have to communicate that to customers. You could do it all internally. And self-signed certs don't work for our security organization. So that's really, does that answer the question?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this is where what we have right now, kind of talked through this a little bit, but we have our services and everything's through PowerShell. So this kind of illustrates the problem. We have other things internally that can't talk to Zen Desktop, to Citrix Zen Desktop right now. They don't have a path in. And a lot of customer applications, they say, well, we can't really use PowerShell to get at your data, so we need something different. So it's driven us to move in this direction, where we have OData for monitoring and for talking to internal, other internal consumers and for customer applications, but we still want to expose PowerShell for customers that want it, because it really does have some very positive points that people like to use. And I have to thank my architect back home for helping with the animations, professional PowerPointers we have. So our API strategy, just talking about what's under the covers, right now we have a service that's a executable running as a service in Windows, but we expose a private WCF layer, and then we generate PowerShell commandlets on top of it. And then in the near term, we're going to be putting that management OData on top of it. So you see, it's a lot of layers to get there, and that's really not what we want to do in the long term. So we really want to switch those two and put OData right on top of the service, and then PowerShell access. So OData is relatively easy, and that works nicely, and that's our long-term goal. That's where we want to get. So something like the OData lib that we were talking about earlier, taking that into the services might work. We're still in a lot of investigation on how we're going to get to that final solution in a relatively lightweight way. We're also using WCF data services in Citrix. We have some products that use Entity Framework, and this was a really nice solution for those products that already use Entity Framework. And the product that I work on personally using this, so this is something that I have the most experience with. Some things that are great, we like the reflection provider. I looked at a custom provider and I quickly decided not to do that. But we may end up going down that path. The reflection provider is very nice. And then interceptors are important for us too, because we can't allow customers to access things that they don't have the rights to see. So we need to be able to filter based on who the calling user is. So intercepting the call and modifying the request is a very important thing for us if we do expose our data model. We're also exposing a lot of service operations and probably moving toward functions as soon as that's readily available, or we have a little more detail on how to do that. So for data that needs to be changed on the way out, so we have a lot of trend data, for instance, monitoring data that's exposed, that we wouldn't expose the model, but it would be different. It would be like a date and account, for instance. And that's not something you save in the database that way. It has to be changed. And fortunately, WCF Data Services has a lot of capability for doing that. And we like the query support. You get all of OData as part of WCF Data Services. So as a producer, I don't spend a lot of time looking at the output. I spend more time looking at how am I going to get all of my data into this format and make it available so that it works with OData, and this is something that's worked very nicely for it. In terms of some concerns, there's another product group, the one that's releasing a product in a few weeks, mentioned this concern is one thing that they would like to be able to do is there's interceptors on the way in. Okay, we have the request coming in, but after you've received it on the way out, is there a way to access the data and say do something like config logging? You say, okay, I know this happened, and this was the final result after it hit the database and we did something with it. They'd like to be able to see it at that point. And even if there's exceptions on the way out, that's something that they chose not to use WCF data services because they couldn't figure out how to do this, or it's not available currently in that stack. Other concerns is release date. I didn't put that up there, but as far as availability for WCF data services that would work with Code First and Entity Framework with a Go Live license would be something important for Citrix. Now, this is the last one. So ASP.NET Web API, and this is kind of an interesting story. So the product that's going to be released actually has OData running on top of not the beta version of this, but a release version of the Web API. And what they did was they implemented the language support using expression trees. Because they abandoned using WCF data services, they wrote this massive infrastructure that uses expression trees to look at the query and then return data, because they love the syntax of the language, of the query language. So that's going to be our first shipping product that uses OData. Now, one caveat is it doesn't actually return AtomPub. It returns just an XML feed of the data, or JSON, depending. So it uses the query syntax, but the output isn't quite what you would expect in terms of true OData. Now, some of their concerns about using ASP.NET Web API is the OData support that's coming, and I believe there was a beta recently released along with MVC 4.0, has some OData support in it. And I believe there are four options that are there. They're top, skip, filter, and order by. But the full range of OData language features in terms of the query syntax is not available. So that's one thing that group would like to see, expand and select support as far as availability in that, so that they can take advantage of the new features coming in ASP.NET Web API. And metadata, discoverability, adding service operations and some of the things that you would get with WCF Data Services, having that baked into the other platform, because they like the idea of kind of dropping down to the pure web API and just get a regular REST API that they can work with the gets and posts and whatever they want with the verbs there. But then having some of the other features that you have with WCF Data Services would be useful for them. So any questions on that? That's kind of a different topic. Yes,
Pablo. I have a question. You mentioned that you still are converting queries to expression trees. One of the consistent pieces of feedback we got about data service, the custom providers, is that it looks all easy until you try to write a custom provider and it becomes a science project because things are very difficult to deal with. But most of the difficulty actually comes from the fact that we use expression trees. Do you guys happen to have a backend that already processes expression trees, or do you take a different approach to expression trees and made it easier? I'm surprised that you managed to do the web API angle, which looks great, and then you produce expression trees, which it's at least from the feedback we get, is the tough part.
That's
hard.
Yeah, so did they find any other way to do expression trees? Because that's the challenging part. No, I think they took the long way and they did it. It probably wouldn't be that dissimilar to what your experience is with using expression trees in WCF Data Services. And what I think also what they did is they didn't necessarily have, I don't know if they supported the entire spec that's in the OData V3 specification. They picked what was necessary for their internal consumers to work and as much of it as they could get working for this version, and they probably just made sure that the other things didn't fail. So the constraints are a little different when you're creating an internal API like this, like they did initially, because also they're having internal consumers call this too.
But you're not running this against a database, it's against some custom thing you have in the backend.
Right, yeah. It's not running against the database. Any other questions about that? Yes?
Do you make any use of the OData library? I notice you're not doing the serialization to OData formats. Do you look at that?
I think that's, we have not made any use of the OData library, but that's something that I believe will be used for the next step with Zen Desktop to allow us within each service to expose it. Right now we're using a lot of top, high level products from Microsoft for exposing it because it gets us where we want to go quicker.
So you're using like Data Contract Serializer for JSON XML standard, plain XML serializer.
Yeah, so just regular Data Contract Serializer.
We went through the exact same process you've gone through. We stopped at kind of a full implementation of the expression trees, but that's where we wanted to end up. Unfortunately, the first version of the OData library had expression parser and the beginnings of an expression tree builder, and they dropped it. But that's exactly, that would be my number one ask.
Yeah, so in terms of the OData library, the question is when will the full support for, support for expression trees be available? So maybe that'd be a good question.
Yeah, we want to get there eventually. It's funny, compared to the serialization, the deserialization that has a lot of depth, but the surface area is something we can control. Expression trees are, you guys went through it. It's difficult stuff to model in a very general way. Like if you have a narrower problem, you can kind of simplify a little. If you have to do it in general, it has a lot of surface area in it. But yeah, I think we need to do it. I'll take the feedback. But in fact, the way I would like to think about this is, I think expression trees are too much, as in .NET expression trees. So I would love it if we could do something where we do all the parsing work, give you something that is kind of an annotated AST, very high level, not a lot of the noise, and then give you a primitive. If you want to turn it into a link expression tree because you want to run it, then go for it. But if you have your own translator, you probably want to stop much earlier than that stage of translation. You want something that's very simple that is bound to the kind of high level concepts of the data.
What you're stuck with, you're kind of, two extremes, right? Where if you just slap on a provider, in front of your database and emit your whole database, works great. Get everything, get full expression trees. If you don't do that, you have nothing for query string support. You have absolutely nothing. So the OData library gives you serialization, which you didn't even bother with. We did the full serialization, deserialization. And then with queryability, there's really no support anywhere. So what we actually ended up doing is using the first version of the OData library to do the parsing for us, right? So we get a nice annotated parse tree. But from there, we're doing exactly what you're describing. We're picking pieces out of that parse tree and manually crafting up whether it's a database query or an internal operation whatever. But that's the, to me, that's the biggest gap we've seen in trying to implement something over a real web service. I mean, you're using MVC, doing the same exact, you know, stuff that you're doing.
That's good, Peter. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like we have some good things to talk about tomorrow, too.
Yeah.
All right. So that gets us to the end. Like I said, it's pretty early on in our adoption of OData, but as we talk about it internally, there's a lot of excitement at Citrix. It really is passing the bar when you start applying the different tests to it. Is it going to do what we need it to do? And it seems that it really is the right thing in terms of ease of use, ease of development on top of it. It really is working for us. So we're excited about it and glad to be here. So any other questions? All right. Thank you. Okay.
Long term, you're hoping to move to a model where you've got your OData parsers sitting more directly on top of the service. And I guess I'm curious, would you prefer to have, is that written in unmanaged code, or are you thinking stay in managed code, just have a simpler parser?
So the question is, are we going to do this in unmanaged code on top of the services or in managed code? It's an easy answer because our services are in managed code currently. So we don't really have to make that choice of whether or not we need to drop down to C++ and do this. We'll be able to work right within the framework at that point. Now, the version of the framework becomes somewhat of an issue for us. If it's only released in .NET 4.5, then we may not have that choice. But if it goes back to .NET 4.0, which is our hope, that those things will continue to kind of move forward in parallel, then we could definitely do that right there in the services with the OData library or something else similar that comes that way. All right, thank you. I'll give your attention back.
Dana?